Welcome to the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business Podcast. I'm Melissa Lieberman, a fellow IC and business coach. On this podcast, I teach you to become a consistently booked independent consultant without becoming a pushy salesperson or working 24/7. If I can do it, you can too. Listen on to find out how. Welcome to episode number 136 of the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business Podcast. I am thrilled you are here today. And today we're going to be talking about consulting lead generation techniques that are working right now. I've been thinking a lot about this because I talk with independent consultants every single day, many of them, those clients that I work with and others that I'm just meeting, either when I'm speaking in the chat or directly one-on-one when someone wants a consultation with me. This is who I'm talking to all day long. And I think this is really valuable for you because you're likely working at your desk all by yourself and it's really lonely. It's a lonely situation as an independent consultant. And a lot of times it's hard to have a perspective on what am I doing here that why am I getting results that are different than other people are getting results? And what's possible for me as an independent consultant? And just being in that silo is really common. And so I want to help you get out of that silo today and really look at the bigger picture as it relates to lead generation. And more specifically, the question of why does lead generation for some independent consultants come fairly easily and for others it doesn't? So that's really what I've been thinking about. Why are some consultants really successful with lead generation while others really struggle with it? And most of us might think, well, they're better at marketing. They are better at selling. Those consultants who have a really full pipeline, I'm sure they're just really good at those things. Or you might be thinking they have more time on their hands. Or you might be thinking, they don't have as much client delivery to distract them from the business development activities. And so that's why they're successful. These are common things that we think of that it's easy to think that someone else has something we don't, and therefore we're not as successful at lead generation. And today I want to pull that apart because those are not the reasons why some consultants are more effective at lead generation than others. And so I want to walk you through a process today to talk about what is, as I look across all the consultants that I work with and really take a step back and think about what are the trends here? What are the patterns? Why are some consultants more successful than others? And it really boils down to three things that I'm going to share with you today. And they're all great news because they don't require you to go back to get an MBA in marketing. They don't require that really very little in terms of changing your skill set. It's a lot more about changing your perspective. And so today I'm going to share with you those very specific things that you can put into place immediately in your business to start making a difference with your lead generation results. Before we dive into those three things, though, I want to recommend to you a companion resource that goes with today's episode. It is the Consultant's Offer Assessment. So it's a very specific assessment that I've created for you as an independent consultant to assess your service offerings and give you recommendations on how you can improve them, make them more compelling. So you can go to consultingoffer.expert to launch that assessment and get your personalized results. That will help dovetail with what we're talking about here today. So don't delay. Go take that at consultingoffer.expert. Okay, so with that, I'm going to walk you through the agenda and then we're going to jump into those three things that make a difference in your results for lead generation. So first, we're going to talk about the agenda. First, we're going to talk about those three differences. I'll share with you what they are, what makes lead gen work for some consultants and not others. And then I'm going to share with you three specific case studies to illustrate these three differences. And then we'll wrap up today with some specific questions that I encourage you to ask and answer for yourself and your business so you can put today's episode into action. That's so important. I love that you're here listening. And I also want to make sure that this is really actionable for you as well to help you move your business forward. So with that, let's just start off with what are these three things? If I just distill it down and think about what makes certain consultants more successful at lead generation compared to others. And again, in thinking about it, there's no true pattern as it relates to someone's background in marketing or sales. There is no true pattern, a success pattern, as it relates to the techniques that consultants are using. For example, I see success and I see failure with people, independent consultants, leveraging networking, one-on-one networking, networking at local events, networking at conferences, speaking, doing cold outreach, doing some form of LinkedIn automation, doing some form of LinkedIn posting, doing some form of cold email outreach, all of those different strategies and all different types of backgrounds. With consultants, I see people being successful and also consultants not being as successful. So all of those things, the strategies that you're employing don't make a difference. The background that you have doesn't make a difference. Certainly, it can kind of give you a head start. I definitely don't want to discount that, but it's not a requirement for you to be successful. You don't have to have a background in marketing to be successful as a consultant marketing your services. In fact, sometimes it is almost perplexing in that consultants have a very, you know, the marketing consultants have just as much of a problem marketing themselves as you do without, you know, if you don't have a marketing background, because it's so challenging to apply things to ourselves, right? So really, to start off with, I want to share with you what does not make a difference. So again, your background doesn't make a difference. Your strategies that you're using don't really make a difference. Now, certainly some strategies might work a little bit better with your audience versus others. But at the end of the day, all of those strategies I just listed off are working wildly successful for some independent consultants, and not successful at all for other independent consultants. And so that's what I really want to dig into today, is a layer underneath that. If it's not the strategy and it's not the skill set that you bring to the table, then what is it? What is it that makes a difference with respect to the lead generation, that techniques that are working and what's not working? And what I found in looking at so many different independent consulting businesses is that really this lead generation success really boils down to three things. I'm going to list off all three of them and then I'll come back. So number one, the belief of what you're doing will work. I keep saying that over and over again because it's really so the number one most important thing. And I know it might sound a little bit crazy, but I'm telling you, it makes all the difference. Crazy in that it feels kind of fluffy. It makes all the difference. Number two, the confidence to make a bold offer to a next step. The confidence to make a bold offer to a next step. So for example, you're talking to someone, they could be a potential client, they might not be, you're not exactly sure, you've just met them. But that confidence to make a bold offer to a next step with you, which might look like another conversation, just something simple, right? And then they turn into a lead or a referrer. And the third is the ability to make a compelling invitation for a next step. So those are the three. If I'm looking at lead generation techniques and why lead generation is working for some consultants and not for others, it boils down to these three things. And these three things, again, the belief what you're doing will work, the confidence to make a bold offer to a next step, and the ability to make a compelling invitation for a next step. Those three things. Those three things will then create consistency for you. Those three things will then create effectiveness for you. Those three things will make impact for you and ultimately start creating momentum to fill your pipeline. So if we were just to look at these a slightly different way, one is a thought process, what I'm doing will work. One is an emotion, confidence, and one is a skill, and something to test out in terms of making your offer compelling. So we're going to break down each one of these, and I'm going to do it in using examples. Before I do that, though, I want to just be really clear again about what I didn't say. This is just as important as what I did say. What I did not say, so we're on the topic of consulting lead generation techniques that are working right now to fill independent consultants' pipelines, those lead generation techniques that are working. What I did not say, again, is that those consultants came to the table being, you know, already being great at marketing. I didn't say that they're really clear on who their ideal client is, or that they've got what their specialization is, or what their value proposition is, or what their differentiators are, or they've got a really sexy offer compared to you. I didn't say any of those things. Now, don't get me wrong. These things can make lead generation a lot easier. And I work with my clients on nailing those things down so they know who they're ideal client is, what that ideal client cares about, what makes them unique, what sets makes them unique as an independent consultant, what their offers are, so that they are able to narrow down the problem set here. But at the end of the day, you don't need any of that in order to effectively generate leads. Again, those things make it a lot more straightforward and kind of take a bunch of noise off the table. But I don't want you sitting around thinking you've got to have all of those things in order to generate leads more effectively. You can generate leads right now, even if you don't have any of those things, where you're literally meeting people and adding value to them and proposing a next step is essentially the process of lead generation. So with that, the other thing I want to say to you is, even if you've got all of those things in place, so let's say you're really clear about who your target client is. You're really clear about your value proposition. You're really clear about your differentiators. You're really clear about what your offers are and what they're not and why they matter. Those things can be all in place and you still aren't effective at lead generation because you're missing those three fundamentals that I just shared with you a minute ago. So you can look at this both ways. You don't need those things. They make it a lot easier, but you don't need them to effectively generate a pipeline. And even if you have them, it's going to be difficult for you to generate a pipeline unless you've got those other three things in place. So with that, hopefully you're hearing me that we've got to have these fundamentals in place, and that's what's going to move the needle for you when you're working on lead generation as an independent consultant. So now we're going to talk about these three. I'm going to bring to life those three foundational elements for your lead generation process using some examples. So before I do, though, I want to warn you again. I warned you about this last week, but I want to warn you again. As I start sharing these examples, your brain is going to want to go to the place of, well, I'm different than that person Melissa's sharing with me, that example. It doesn't apply to me. I'm different. I'm unique. I'm lacking this thing. Whatever your brain is trying to talk you into about why you're different and why this won't work for you, I want to encourage you to ignore and override that inner voice to really help take the examples that I'm sharing with you and make them impactful for you today. Ask yourself the opposite question. Some of the particulars aren't relevant, or some of the particulars are different than my scenario, but how does this apply to me? Really redirecting your brain, because we're all, by human nature, looking to see how something is wrong with us or how we're different. And I want to encourage you today to take these three examples I'm about to share with you and look at them from the lens of, how does this apply to me? Okay, so we've got ourselves all set up here. Now let's dive into these three specific scenarios and help you to bring these three elements to life. These three foundational elements to your lead generation activities so that you can make whatever you're doing more effective. And if you're not doing anything from a lead generation perspective, which believe me, you're not alone. So many consultants aren't working on lead generation. Putting these three things in place is going to help you get into action and stay more consistent. Okay, so with that, let's start with the first one. The first one is the belief that what you're doing will work. Whether you're doing cold outreach over email, or whether you're speaking in front of your ideal clients, or whether you're going to a networking event, whether you're going to a conference, whether you're meeting people one-on-one, whatever your lead generation strategy is, the first fundamental, most important thing you could put in place is the belief that what you're doing will work. Belief before you have evidence that it will work. Belief that no matter what all the other elements are in your business, that the technique, that the strategy that you've selected for lead generation is going to create leads. So let me give you a very specific example to bring this to life. And I'm going to, these are real life people, but I'm going to change their names for the purposes of confidentiality, which is incredibly important to me. So we've got John and we've got Jane. They have similar audiences. And they both have decided that they want to approach lead generation. One of the techniques for lead generation in their business is posting on LinkedIn. So we've got a similar as possible audience, and they're both posting on LinkedIn with the goal of generating awareness to what they do, and ultimately the goal of having potential clients reach out to them as an inbound lead to inquire about their services. So let's take John to start with. He's kind of skeptical that this approach is going to work. He's doing it because he thinks he should, and he's heard advice that he should post on LinkedIn. And so he's going through the motions and he's posting on LinkedIn, but he truly doesn't believe it's going to work. He wants the proof to be in the pudding, right? As they say, right? He wants to see the results before he can really get on board with it mentally that this approach to lead gen will work. So he's waiting for his lead generation method to prove itself to him. His thought process is, this is going to take a long time. This might not work. I hope this works. I'm not sure if this will work, but let's see what happens. And John's results from that perspective, from that mindset, are no leads, no inbound messages, no one seeking out his services, no activity. Jane, again, similar audience, similar type of consultant, is also posting on LinkedIn a few times a week. And her thought process as she's doing it is, my LinkedIn content is working. My LinkedIn content is valuable. My LinkedIn content resonates with ideal clients. People are going to reach out to me and ask about my services. That is her thought process. And that is her thought process ahead of time. She thought that way even before she was seeing any results from her posting on LinkedIn. She wasn't waiting for results in order to feel certain about what she was doing. She was really strongly in the thought process that what she was doing and is doing will work, compared to John, who was skeptical and doing it because he thought he should. Jane has a couple people messaging her every week asking about her services, whereas John has no leads, no activity, no one's messaging him. Now, we could sit here and compare Jane to John and all the differences as humans that they are. But at the end of the day, this is an illustration, and I see this over and over again with all different types of people. This is an illustration of one thinks it'll work and one doesn't. And one is getting the results of it working and one isn't. And how does this impact, you know, how does their belief system that what they're doing will work? How does that belief system really show up? You know, why does one create leads and one doesn't? Well, first it starts with the tone. Jane is, because she believes it's going to work, she's writing her content from the mindset of impact and expectation. Expectation that definitely they're going to, her ideal client will reach out to her based on what she's posting and what she's talking about, the challenges that she's sharing with respect to her ideal audience, versus John, who's writing this more from obligation and dread and skepticism. That tone comes across in what you're saying, the words you're using, the what you're not saying, the words you're not using. John's just phoning it in and proving him to himself that what he's doing isn't going to work. Whereas Jane is really committed to this strategy. She knows it's going to work. She's approaching it that way. Her tone comes across that way. And as a result, she's getting those potential clients reaching out to her. Do you see the difference? You've got to believe ahead of time that whatever strategy you're employing for lead generation is going to work. You have to decide ahead of time, even before you have any results to kind of stand upon, to prove to yourself that it's going to work, that you believe that ahead of time in order to make it work. It is not your business's job to prove to you that it will work. It's your job as a business owner to have that confidence and certainty ahead of time in order to make it work. We oftentimes make it, set it up the opposite way. Like John, he's like, well, you prove to me, business, that my lead generation strategies will work so I can feel really certain about this. Whereas Jane realizes she's got to feel certain and confident ahead of time in order to make it work. Hopefully this illustration shows you that it's incredibly important, whatever you've chosen in terms of lead generation, whatever strategy it is, it's not about the strategy so much as it is about your belief that the strategy will work. And as a result, the certainty with which you're approaching your lead generation activities, even if you don't have specific evidence yet that what you're doing will create leads. I can assure you that the more certain you are that what you're doing will create leads is going to shorten the cycle for you to generate the leads. Okay, let's move on to number two, which is the confidence to make bold offers to a next step. So what this means is you've met someone, whether it's in an event, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's in a cold outreach, whether it's you speaking and you're meeting a lot of someone's at the same time, whatever the method is. Again, the method doesn't matter so much as you having the confidence to powerfully make an invitation to a next step. So let's talk about this again with two examples. And again, I will use redacted names. These are real life examples. The first example is Steve, when he's approaching an invitation to a next step, and that's all lead generation is, right? At a very simplistic level, lead generation is you're meeting someone in some form or fashion. It could be literally meeting someone one-on-one, or it could be they're becoming aware of you somehow through a LinkedIn post or an article that you've written or a speaking engagement. They're becoming aware of you. And then they're wanting to take a next step to talk about the problems that you as a consultant help to solve at a very simplistic level. So with that, let's talk about this example where both of these consultants that I'm going to share the stories were both networking and as their lead generation strategy. And we're talking about the ability to confidently make a bold offer to a next step. So Steve, as he was approaching these networking conversations, his thought process was, I don't want to waste their time. If I recommend another meeting, for example, they're going to think that I would waste their time if I recommended having another meeting. And so he was mostly going through the process of networking to check the box and say that he had done a lot of work lead generation work that week. Meeting with 5 or 6 or even sometimes 10 people a week, but coming at it from the mindset of I don't know what to do to offer a next step because I don't want to waste their time. They're going to think I'm going to waste their time. So I'm going to be really careful and cautious about what I offer as a next step after this initial virtual coffee that he was having. His results are no leads and no next step conversations. Again, not because he was networking or not because he's bad at networking. It's because his thought process was, if I ask them to have another call more specific to the problem they just shared with me to see if I can help them as a consultant, his thought process that shut him down was, they're going to think this is a waste of their time, this next meeting. versus Sarah, same scenario. She's networking as her lead generation strategy, has a similar audience, so similar types of people she's networking with. And her thought process is as she's meeting people and having the confidence to recommend a next step, her thought process is, of course, they're going to want to have another meeting with me. Of course, the next meeting is going to be valuable and a good use of their time. Of course, they're going to think another meeting is valuable and a good use of their time. So she's thinking it's valuable, and she's thinking they're thinking it's valuable. None of us know what they're thinking. But if you're thinking like Steve, that they're not going to think it's valuable, you're going to get the same kind of results that Steve's getting, which is no leads. Versus Sarah, she's thinking, of course, they want to have another meeting with me, and it's going to be valuable, and they're going to see it as valuable. And then as a result of that thought process, she's making simple, powerful invitations to meet again and describing why that would be valuable to that person. And she's creating leads from this. They're both networking. One's creating leads and one isn't. So the difference is that Sarah strongly believes that a next conversation is valuable and that the potential client would want that conversation. And so she's much more compelling. She's much more direct. And the person that she's talking to is much more receptive as a result to have another conversation, to talk more specifically about the type of work that Sarah does with respect to the problems that that person is having. Versus Steve, most of the time, he's not even making the offer. And when he is, it's very tepid, right? The offer to a next step conversation. So that gives you an example, hopefully brings to life the importance of having that confidence to make a bold offer to a next step. That emotion is so important. We've got the thought process, what I'm doing will work. And if you're doing a lead generation strategy that you don't think is going to work, you've got to start there. You've got to believe that what you're doing will work as a prerequisite to making it work. Then secondly, you're going to want to purposefully generate that confidence. The confidence to make a bold offer or invitation, just a simple invitation, a bold invitation to a next step. Just confidence to make that invitation. They can always say no, it's not a problem. You know, think about it. If you're inviting someone to a party and you're like, well, I'm having a party this weekend, I hope you'll come. I don't know if the food's going to be that great, but I'll try. Versus, I'm having an amazing party this weekend. I would love for you to stop by. Come on over at 7 p.m., whatever it is, right? It's very simple. You've got to have that confidence ahead of time to make a bold invitation. And then the third component of what sets apart those people, those independent consultants who are successful with lead generation versus those who are not, is the ability to make a compelling invitation for a next step. So we've got the confident invitation, and we also need to make it compelling. Again, it kind of goes back to that example I just gave you of the party. One party, you're kind of like, not sure if I want to go to that party, versus the second example I gave you. Oh, I can't wait to see what she's got up, or, you know, what's happening at this party. It sounds really good. So let's talk about this third. I'll give you another example to bring to life this idea of, and this concept and this prerequisite, what will make your lead generation more effective, which is making a compelling invitation to a next step. So again, the lead generation, just a level set here, the lead generation process is as simple as meeting people and inviting them to a next step. Inviting them to a conversation in some form or fashion about what you do as a consultant and what challenges and problems they're having in the businesses that they're running, the business units that they're running, the functions that they're responsible for. That's it. So let's talk about making a compelling invitation. So again, I'll give you another example. Again, these are real life examples. I've just changed the names. But these are similar consultants, so they've got a similar type of consulting they're offering and a similar audience to whom they're offering it. Try to make these as like as possible. Then their method of lead generation is cold outreach over email and LinkedIn, kind of a combination of both. So a lot of us think, And quite frankly, I think this too. Cold outreach is dead. I think this. I don't have a cold outreach strategy, so it's not a problem. if you have a cold outreach strategy and you don't think it's going to work, that's a problem. Go back to step one that we were talking about. But let's say in this example, they both decided that they want to leverage cold outreach. And for you, it might be one of the two lead gen strategies that you choose to pursue. It doesn't have to be the only lead gen strategy. It could be. But, you know, thinking about if you've got any form of cold outreach in your lead gen strategy, this can be really important. If you don't, that's fine too. Just think about this from the perspective of the lead gen strategy that you are using. Okay, so, but I really wanted to use this example because so many of us think that cold outreach is really hard and doesn't work. So that's why let's just take one of the most challenging lead gen strategies and use that as our example here to show you the difference it makes when you have a more compelling invitation to a next step. So first, let's start with Kate. Kate was doing this cold outreach. Her thought process is, I have to do this. And I'm just going to copy a template that I was given. And I'm going to, like, it's all about the numbers. And so that's her thought process. She sets up some automation and hopes for the best. And her results are no leads and no activity. And no one's responding to any of these messages she's got flying out everywhere. Curtis, on the other hand, again, he starts with the thought process, the belief that cold outreach will work, that cold outreach does work. He builds a compelling series of emails that are specific to the people that he's reaching out to. He personalizes them. So he's not setting up a bunch of automation. He's spending some time on quality over quantity. And again, he's coming at it from the perspective of the people that he's reaching out to with a specific compelling message versus just, you know, copying some templates that he got, like Kate did. He's assuming that the people he's reaching out to will want to hear from him because of what he has to offer to them as a next step. In his case, it's literally a 30-minute assessment call, kind of an evaluation/assessment call to talk about a specific challenge that his ideal clients are facing. Very, very pinpointed, very, very specific. He assumes they want to hear from him. He puts himself in their shoes about what they're worried about. He thinks about them. Okay, it's Monday morning. What are they worried about? What little micro problem could I help them to solve? And he writes to them from that perspective. And then as he writes to another person and another person and another person, he's tailoring it slightly, but he's making it more specific to them. He's thinking about quality over quantity. And he's getting leads. His cold outreach is creating leads. Kate's is not. The reason why has nothing to do with the cold outreach or Kate's skill set versus Curtis's skill set. The difference is, number one, Curtis believes that cold outreach will work. Back to our first point. Number two, he's really confident in offering a next step. Back to our second point. And number three, he's making the offer, the invitation to the next step, which in his case is a assessment type call. He's making that really compelling to the person he's emailing and messaging in LinkedIn that it solves a specific challenge they're having. He's not checking the boxes. He's thinking like his prospect. He's thinking about what that prospect is worried about and what that prospect wants. And he's crafting his messages from a personal relationship-oriented place versus from a transactional mindset. And as a result, his invitation to a next step is very compelling, and he's getting responses to his cold outreach. This can work if you've got these fundamentals in place. It's not about the cold outreach. It's about the way you're thinking about the cold outreach. So to pull all of this together, I want to recap those three things, and then I'm going to give you very specific questions for you to ask yourself to start building up a stronger mindset as it relates to lead generation. So again, the three things are, number one, what makes a difference? Why do some people have success with lead generation while others do not when they're employing the same techniques for the same type of audience, same type of potential client audience? It boils down to number one, belief that the strategy that you're using will work and believing that ahead of time before you see evidence. Number two, having the confidence to make a bold offer for a next step, that potential client will see what you're offering as valuable. And number three, making that invitation to a next step compelling. So it's something that they want versus them feeling you thinking they just should do it. Those are the three things that I see making a difference and why lead gen works for some consultants and not for others. So let's wrap up today. I want to share with you these questions that you can ask yourself in each of those three buckets. The first is in terms of believing that your lead gen approach will work. So here are the three questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, how strongly do I believe my lead gen approach will work? Why is it that number? And what would make it a 10? Again, you've got to believe in advance that what the strategy that you've selected for your lead generation will work before it will actually work. Second, to make a confident invitation to a next step, ask yourself similar questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you when you propose a next step to a potential client versus someone you've just met? Why is it that number and what would make it a 10? And then finally, with respect to making a compelling invitation to a next step, ask yourself, how could I make the invitation for a next step to those people that I meet who are just contacts right now, they're not yet leads, how could I make the invitation for a next step more concrete and compelling? So that is your work for today. I am going to remind you about the consultant's offer assessment. It's at consultingoffer.expert. So it is not .com, it is .expert. Go over to consultingoffer.expert and take that assessment that will help complement what we were talking about today and really fuel your lead generation activities. So thank you for tuning in and I will see you again next week. Take care. Thanks for joining me this week on the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business podcast. If you like today's episode, I have three quick next steps for you. First, click subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to make sure you don't miss future episodes. Next, leave me a review in your podcast app so other independent consultants can find and benefit too. And finally, to put the ideas from today's episode into action, head over to melissalieberman.com for the show notes and more resources to help you grow your consulting practice from your first few projects into a full-fledged business. See you next week.